We'll go back and pick up on Acts 27 again. And hopefully we were going to get through. And if we get our 10 minutes back, maybe we can make it and get through the end of Acts 27. This is the third installment into this shipwreck deal that Paul is on, that they got going on. And I'm going to read verses 32, 33, and 34, and we'll pick up with 35 for our study. And it says this: Then the soldiers cut off the ropes, or the cords, of the boat. Let me read it out of King James here. 33. Okay. He said, Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. Now, this is the shore boat. This is not the little old dinghy boat. This is the bigger one that they can paddle from where they could anchor in to get fixed up to get ready to unload your cargo. And it says, And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, This day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. So Paul had talked with the angel sometime during the night before, and the angel had told Paul that if everything went as planned, that they would get close to land, and that's where God said they needed to be, to land. And so we'll get into verse 35 here, and this is our study for today. And I'll just read 35. And it says this: And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all, full stop. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. So, they hadn't eaten anything in 14 days. Nobody on the boat, nobody on the ship had eaten anything, and it was all hands on deck. They thought they were going to lose it just any minute.
It was a fight for survival.
Yeah. And it said, And when Paul had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks. And the gave thanks there in the Greek is the word, in the Greek is ousi artisi geo. And if I could say it fast, it would probably sound better. But that's about the best I could do with that one. To God in the presence of them all, full stop, as we said. And it said, And when he had broken it, the bread, he began to eat. And I didn't put this in the other verses of Scripture, but talking about food and something to eat, in the Greek, the Greek word for food or substance is the word trophy. T-R-O-P-H-E, trophy. That's the Greek word for food or eat, because, you know, that's, looking back at where these words come from, you get the understanding maybe that that you're not going to come out front if you don't have something to eat, you know, so.
Is that, or maybe from a, that our word came from being rewarded food.
Rewarded, yeah, or,
some, yeah.
Or get a reward for getting this far along, maybe. But I thought I'd mention that again because this is mentioned more than one time in the year. And then we'll get to verse 36. Verse 36 says this, they were all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. And the word meat there is the word trophies also. It's what you intake. It's the substance that you get. Then at that time, it says, were they all of good cheer. And that good cheer there, in the Greek is enthymos. And they also took. And also taking there is, in the Greek, is proslambano. Now, that's not a very hard word to say. Although it's, again, it's a three-syllable word, but it's used quite a lot in the Greek language. They took some meat, took meat. And that word is trophy there. This is food or nourishment. That's what it means in that situation. So, I'm sure if they hadn't eaten anything for 14 or 15 days, because they were already in this thing for 3 or 4 days, and then they stopped for a short time, and then they talked Paul into going on. He said, no, don't go, but they did anyway. Between the centurion and the owner of the ship, they evidently overruled Paul.
Would that have been in a storm this bad for that long, though?
It must be terrible, especially over there, because this is some of that stuff that gets started, and then it turns around on them and comes back on. And it really moves in big time when it does that. And so their ship was already, they had already jettisoned some of the ship. They had a foresail, but they didn't have, they had already jettisoned the pole that held the mainsail. But they had enough that they could still let the wind push the boat, and them trying to keep it square with everything. And so we get to verse 37, and we got an unusual situation here in 37. Verse 37, and it's in here, but a lot of people don't pick up on it. If you hadn't gotten involved with Acts like we have for several times. But it says this in 37, and we were in all in the ship 276 souls. That's 276 people aboard this ship that was made to carry corn or wheat or whatever grains that Egypt was doing it today.
Well, that day, that's a pretty good sized ship.
And so it was a big ship. I mean, in that day, it was a nice sized ship. But now Josephus was on one in the same storm. And Josephus said, they were 600 aboard his ship, and they lost 81 of them, I believe, but he didn't get lost. He was left on some island. That don't say how he got on there, but In his memoirs, he wrote it, and so they added it to some of this.
He had a similar experience.
Let me read my notes here. And we, including Dr. Luke. So, Luke was with him, with Paul, and there was another one from Macedonia that was with Paul. And the centurion thought that Dr. Luke and the Macedonian guy was Paul's servants. That's who he thought they were to begin with. But then he began to realize, no, they were just friends, you know. And so, and Paul got a little bit of liberties along with, because of his, knowledge that he was getting from God, because he was continually praying to God to save them. And that's kind of like the white wool that's on the showbread table in the Holy of Holies, for whenever they take an animal and kill an animal for the sins of the people, they pull off these ticks and things that lives on this animal, and they'll put that piece of white wool down, and them things will see that, and they spread that, a little bit of that blood from that animal on that, and they walk through that blood, and they go through that wool, and that's how the high priest can know that God has accepted that, animal that had been sacrificed. But God even lets the scavengers go. He don't keep the scavengers. They're turned loose again. And that's why they got that white wool on the table where the showbread and all that stuff is. And there's another thing that's there that's saying God will help you if you will ask. And certainly Paul had asked for that. There's words for that too. And they just, everything on that table where the showbread is there for a reason. And it coincides with other stuff that's going on in the world. And that just blew my mind. And I believe it was Mick Kowski that told us about the blood and the wool that time in one of his studies. And I thought, man,
yeah, he's done that study. That's deep.
Verse 38. He said, and when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. So, it wasn't corn. It was wheat. And I don't know if it was loose wheat or if it was in bags or how they were shipping it. And I don't know how they were getting it on and off the ship or anything like that, but you know, this was it. But, along with 37, when we talked about Dr. Luke here and the 203 scored 16 people, which was 276. And let me read what it said about Josephus. Josephus says, in the ship in which he was were 600 souls, and this was during the same hurricane, of whom only 80 were rescued or saved. There was only 80 that out of the 600 on his ship that was saved. So they lost they lost about 80% of the ones on the ship that he was on. Paul hadn't lost one yet, not one.
As long as they all stayed on. Right?
As long as they all stayed where Paul said.
Yeah.
They were rescued.
Definitely a team effort.
They said they, during the same hurricane, of whom only 80 were rescued or saved, as we put it. Okay. Now 38. And it said, and when or having been satisfied or eaten enough, and, satisfied there in the Greek is korinuga. They lighten the ship. And that word in the Greek is kuphazio, and cast out or throwing overboard the wheat into the sea. So they were literally, I guess, doing it by hand. Or I don't know if they had any more helps to do that. If they were in bags, maybe two of them could get a bag and throw it over. But here we are, you know, verse 39. And it says, and when it was day, see, they were waiting on the day to come so they could see what was going on, because evidently they didn't have anything to light a light with. I don't know how they got their food to them. And so verse 39 says this, and when it was day, they knew not the land. But they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. So here was a creek that ran into the ocean. Pretty good sized creek. There was a sandbank on both sides.
They figured that was their best.
And so if they could get the front, if they could get the prow of that boat into that place, that would be the place to where they could get out. Then they had more availability of getting off of the ship. In 39, it says, knowing equals recognizing, and recognizing in the Greek is epigenosko. And when it was day, but they discovered or perceived a certain creek with a shore or a beach, into the which they were minded, and I guess they got together, took counsel or planned what they were going to do. And the big plan of that is buoyio, if it were possible. They might be able to thrust in. And here's another Greek word. And that word there in the Greek is exothio, the ship. So they're going to try to throw that ship in with what wind they got and what wind they had with the foresail. And they told about where they stirred the ship, that they had these things with kind of big paddle-like things on it, and they could raise them up to get a little more air in the ship. And that give them a little better shot to try to get it around, to get it in this hole there. And so they realized it was just going to be one's chance. They couldn't do much else but this, what Paul said to do. And they had already cut the ropes on the bigger boat, so they weren't going to use the boat, because Paul said, "Now if you do that, boys, I can't say you're going to be saved." And then we get down to verse 40. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea and loosened the rudder bands, and they hoisted up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. Well, this is not really right here, because the mainsail was gone. It was the foresail. It was the only thing they had besides the things that the rudders held the wheel when they couldn't hold the wheel to drive it in the thing. And so they raised them up. And this is how they were working it here. And it said, when they had taken up, and that Greek word is periario, or committed. And themselves into the sea. They done that by raising the anchors. And he said they slipped them loose. And that word loose there in the Greek is anaima. They loosened the rudder bands of the rudders. And that rudder there in the Greek is pedalinon. And they were two great paddles, one on either side, for to be used in the steering of the ship. And they hoisted up the foresail. It should be foresail instead of mainsail. There.
Good old King.
And to the wind, and the tackle by which the paddles were lashed, were to the hull when the ship was at anchor at this point. So, the mainsail, it says, was to the wind and made toward land. What was said to be the mainsail was literally a foresail, as the mainsail had been already thrown overboard. So, it was just part of the mainsail. It was the foresail, and then they had the big sheet. It was the mainsail. And the pole that held it up, well, they threw the mainsail off back there a day or two before that to lighten it up some, because they had sounded and they was in 20 fathoms of water, and they went another hour and they sounded again, and I couldn't find out how they were doing the sounding.
It had to be like a rope marks on it or something.
And
a weight.
And they found out they was just in 90 feet of water then. So they really got scared about that. Because that thing evidently was, with that load, even with bigger part of the load gone, they were still in pretty dire straits there. Then we get to 41 where it says, now. And I'm going to read it first, and then I'll read you my notes. It said, and falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart fore part struck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. So part of it was in the mouth of the creek, and the other part was out into the, still into the bad winds. Let me read you my notes. It says, now, what the angel told to Paul is becoming a reality as to their safety and falling into a place. And a place here, even in the notes, was they give you the Greek word, and the place there was peripipto. Peripipto. Where two seas met. And there's another Greek word that goes along with that. And that's Didahalosius. A sandbank formed by the opposing currents. They ran the ship aground and the forepart struck fast. And in the Greek, that is epokilio. Epokilios. Meaning the same. But now the ship there is, the word ship in the Greek is, ploion. It's no longer a ship, but a mere floating hulk of debris. The hinder part, the stern began to break up by the violence of the waves. So this is what these people were looking at. They were watching this ship break apart that had carried them a long ways. Now it's no longer usable. It's becoming a pile of debris. Verse 42. And it said, and the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. Well, the same mindset is still in these soldiers with it. But the centurion stopped that. If he hadn't stopped that, he was afraid they'd get Paul too. And he knew he owed his life to the Apostle Paul. By this time, he understood if he had a chance, it was going to be with Brother Paul.
They're running on that belief, though, that if they lose a prisoner, they become the prisoner.
Yeah, because they would have to take their place.
They have to take their place.
Okay, so let me read my notes. It says, as this was happening, the soldiers. Now, we hadn't heard much about the soldiers. So how many soldiers did they have on board? We don't know. But we know there was 276 people on board, counting Paul.
All together.
Okay. So, the centurion was there, and he probably had the full capacity of his men, which would have been 100 plus him. Okay, so, and they had prisoners beside Paul. Paul wasn't the only prisoner. And so, whenever they got these guys on board back yonder, well, it wasn't supposed to be that big a deal, you know, but now it's a big deal. The soldiers' council, those in charge of the prisoners, was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them or anyone should swim out. And swim out there in the Greek is epolumbago. and escape. And that equals make good his escape. And in the Greek there, that is dia, phugo. Said, but the centurion, willing to save Paul, or purposing to save Paul, and that is another Greek word of boulomai, kept them from their purpose. He overruled them and commanded that they that could swim. Now this is what the centurion told them. All you soldiers that can swim, you go and you swim to shore, and that you should cast themselves first into the sea and get away, literally go forth upon the land to help the ones that were coming off. Because the rest of them was going to have to go anyway, whether they could swim or not. And then we get down to the last one, and I thought there'd be more to it than this, but I guess it was not. Let's see. I got one more that I put it on. I put it, okay. I got a dummy page here. In my book. Yeah. Here we got verse 44. We got to the last verse of Acts 27. And it says this, and the rest, meaning those that were left gotten off of the what was left of the ship now. It says it was just a big pile of debris, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land.
Just like the angel said they would.
So what the angel told Paul was exactly what happened. And so, you know that Paul was praying and some of the rest of these guys were praying for their safety. And God answered their prayers. And it was kind of like the little bugs crawling through the white wool. They could see the end of their journey on this ship. But they knew there was land out there that they could make. So, and it said, and the rest, some. So, in the Greek, that is loipos. Some on boards. And loipos. And planks. Planks in the Greek is the word sanis, S-A-N-I-S, sanis. And some on epi. The little word on is always means epi. Broken, is pilos. Philos. I'm sorry, philos. On broken, that means broken parts of the boat, any part of the ship that they could grab a hold to for, because you know they didn't have no life jackets. Life jackets wasn't the thing they had at that time.
It wasn't safety first back then.
The wreckage, they just had to use what they could get out of that wreckage to make it to shore. And so it came to pass. Came to pass equals just as the angel had instructed Paul. None of them changed course here. What the angel had told Paul and Paul told them, said, I can't help you if you don't do what I say do. And so we know that God has spokesmen, and Paul was one of his spokesmen. And so that's the reason the angel was there. It wasn't because the men on the ship was going to take prisoners to somebody else. It was because Paul and Paul's guys that the centurion thought was Paul's slaves were aboard the ship. So if they could save Paul, they could save the rest of them. And that's the way God works. It may be because you're with somebody that God's going to save that allows you to be rescued too. So that's a thought that we need to keep in our minds all the time anyway.
That's a good something to ponder. Were all these other people, that they survived because God wanted Paul alive?
Well, that's what Paul said. That the angel told him, said, you know, you're here because we're here. We're all here together.
Yeah.
And you need to do what the angel says is telling me. Because I'm telling you exactly what he's telling me.
Boy, it took a lot of faith, though. You know, a lot of people there didn't
know. Oh, didn't know.
Didn't know.
Didn't know what faith was. Didn't have an idea. So, was saved by being in the presence of God's spokesman, the Apostle Paul. Folks, I couldn't say it any better than that. But I'll read you the very first verse of chapter 28 of the book of Acts. And it said, and when they were escaped, they knew that the island was called Melita. So, that's where God aimed for them to go. That's where they went. And they all got there. Wasn't a hair on the head of none of them lost. Everybody got off. But this is not the end of the story. This is just the end of the shipwreck. We got one more chapter to go through. We got this 28th chapter. This is where God is going to set Israel aside and give me and you hope with a chance to be in the body of Christ. He's done spent 2 years with Festus, waiting on Agrippa to come down, and I'm sure he has written back to many of these books that to these people he's already been to. I know he wrote back to Ephesians because he told them when he left there in about 3 or 4 chapters back, he said, you won't see my face anymore. But he didn't say you wouldn't see my word come to you. But he said, you're not going to look on me anymore face to face. I'll not be there. Because he knew enough at that point in time. Well, he was not going to ever be back with them. But he wrote back to them. One of the greatest books that we got in scripture, and that's the book of Ephesians. And you don't have to read many, many verses in Ephesians to realize that, boy, what he's got now and what he's writing back to these people was not what he told them when he was there, because he didn't have that at that time. But this is how the Word of God goes. It's put forth when God says it's due, not when man says it's due. And so, even if Paul knew it at that time, he couldn't produce it. He was like John. When John had the ringside seat watching Revelations take place, God told John, says, don't write this down. Don't write this. Even though John got to see it, he couldn't write it down because it wasn't time for them people to know that.
Yeah, some of it he could see and write about. Some of it he could just see.
Yeah. And so, you know, this is where we are. And so thank you very much for being with us on a stormy night. Boy, it was pretty bad there for a little bit, but it kind of calmed down and went on over, but this is not the end of our thing. We go, the weatherman said we'd have this till about 4 o'clock in the morning. So we still got 4 or 5 hours yet to go.
I'll tell you what, it was a lot calmer here now than it was a few minutes ago.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. But I tell you what, I thought enough about what they said on television just before I drove down here, that when I come in, I brought one of my big old umbrellas in with me.
There you go. That's small. Tony posted a note here about Melita. Today it's called Malta. It said it was in the jurisdiction of the Praetor of Sicily, St. Paul's Bay, the traditional scene of the shipwreck, which fulfills all the conditions that you read about in the book.
Yeah.
I mean, it's got the sandbar there. It's got the place where the two creeks are emptying in or whatever. You know.
Well, it might have not have been too hard to find the shipwreck, but there probably wasn't nothing left.
Yeah,
it was, and it was any good anyway.
Yeah, absolutely good study. I mean, I love the nautical part of Acts.
The chapter 27, the footnote on chapter 27, there was more than 50 nautical things, words in there that wasn't anywhere else in the New Testament.
Yeah, Tony posted that note too. That is really something.
Yeah.
That you got all these words that go with that you have to have to describe what's happening.
Yeah.
That aren't really neither used anywhere else in Scripture.
You couldn't look somewhere else and get the message.
Get that story.
You had
That's
to get
amazing.
It from that. And Josephus was pretty good to give in his movements and so on, his observances. He was pretty accurate, I think, with a lot of his stuff.
Yep. So. Amen. Good study.
You know, it seems like God doesn't leave any stone unturned when he wants to do what he wants.
Amen. That's the way he works.
I have a question. So is this the same boat?
Well, thank you for...
No, it's not the same boat Noah built.
Thank you for hanging with us down through this thing.
Yeah, this boat is literally thousands of years after Noah's boat. Yeah, this is just a ship they were using for trading at the time. That Paul was hitching a ride on, but turns out I guess he got on the right boat. He got on the boat God wanted him on, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Pop.